against Jesus, his hands were pierced by those who would crucify him. And we read of those crucifiers in Matthew 27. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there they crucified our Lord with their hands. Dear friends of Christ, we consider this evening, yes, the wounds of Jesus, the wounded body of Jesus. And we consider this evening his hands, the human hand. It's a very remarkable, remarkable thing. A remarkable part of God's creation. It has 27 bones in it, including carpals and metacarpals and phalanx bones. And God has, with his creative hand himself, made a wonderful, wonderful part of our bodies. Indeed, with our hands, we can do remarkable things. Everything from typing on a keyboard to pounding with hammers and to threading a needle with fine thread. The hand is an amazing creation, it is. And yes, not long after we enter into the world, we begin to use our hands. And often, we use our hands for good things. The baby reaches for a blanket or reaches for a rattle to play or to comfort itself. A Christian uses the hands to perhaps help a neighbor build a shed or fix a car or to wipe a tear or to serve a meal at church. We use our hands for good. And such were the hands of Jesus. As we look at the Word of God, there were many times where he used his carpals and his metacarpals and his phalanx bones to do all kinds of wonderful things in the world. In Matthew chapter 8, we run into one of those moments. For there was a man that wasn't doing too well. He had leprosy. Dreaded disease. Stay away. The world said to them, stay away. He was suffering. The only thing he could think of doing was going to Jesus, this man with wonderful hands. And so he went to Jesus, and he cried out to Jesus for mercy. He cried out to Jesus for compassion. And hearing those cries, Jesus had compassion. For the leper said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And hearing that faith and hearing those cries for mercy and having a heart of compassion, Jesus did something that no one would ever think of doing. He reached out with his hands and he touched that leper. He touched that leper and he brought healing. I will, Jesus said, be clean. And there was joy. And yes, in Mark 7, he did it again. A man born deaf. And being born deaf, he couldn't utter hardly a word at all of clear speech. Couldn't hear, couldn't speak. And so his friends brought him to Jesus with again that cry that he heard so often, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. And Jesus, seeing his plight, seeing his suffering, reached out again his hands. And he touched the man's tongue. And he touched the man's ears with those holy hands and said, be open. And suddenly there was speech. And suddenly there was hearing. A miracle. Oh, the holy hands of Jesus. What a wonderful thing he had done. And yes, there was Mark chapter 10 as well. His hands at it again. Get those children out of here, the disciples said. They're a nuisance. They're a bother, aren't they? And Jesus said, no, no, no. You're misunderstanding. Let the children come to me. Let the little children come to me. And don't get in their way. Don't hinder them. For of such is the kingdom of God. And as they came to him, he reached out his hands. And he picked up the children and he held them and he comforted them. and he played with them. Oh yes, dear friends, the holy, welcoming, beautiful, healing hands of Jesus. But friends, as we know, not all hands are used for holy things. Sometimes hands indeed are used for some pretty unholy things. Texting while driving, for example, as we saw even tonight on our way to church. Posting unhelpful things on Facebook, this'll get them. Striking an innocent person with a fist, or ending human life in a tragic shooting. Indeed, Cain raised his hands against his brother Abel, who loved the Lord, and with his hands he slew his brother. Hands aren't always used for good things. The Roman soldiers did the same thing. They used their hands, their carpals and metacarpals. They used their hands to end life. And in this case, they used their hands to end the life of Jesus, the Son of God. They used those hands to whip him. They used those hands to strike him. They used those hands to hit him with rods and to beat him. They used those hands to pick up mallets and hammers and mighty nails that they might drive them through Jesus' own hands, affixing them to the cross. Indeed, what does the Lenten song say? Many hands were raised to wound him, but none would interfere to save. And so we see this evening the hands of Jesus that reached out and did so many wonderful things, now pierced through with steel, affixing him, attaching him to the cross. With every blow of the Roman hammers, they secured him to the cross. And even more than that, with every blow of the Roman hammers, they secured our sins to Jesus. They secured our transgressions to him. With every blow of those hammers, his sin, our sins became his. Our transgressions belong to him. To the extent that the Father in heaven would even forgive those with holy hands, because of the holy hands of his Son. Indeed, we see this evening Jesus' hands receiving the violence of the hands of others. But there would be good news too. For just 3 days later, he would rise. And as he would confront the disciples, as he would approach them behind locked doors, as he would encounter them, what would he do? Look, gentlemen, the hands. He would show them his hands. It really is me. I am alive. See the wounds now healed? It is me. And their eyes got big as they saw evidence of the resurrection. The one who was pierced is now alive. And what joy Thomas had when he finally saw that Jesus was alive. For Jesus, yes, showed him his hands. And Thomas blurted out with a mighty confession, "My Lord and my God." Resurrection. You see, that's what happens every time we have a benediction. The pastors everywhere across our synod put up their hands. What are they doing? They're mimicking Jesus on the day of Easter. It's a sign of resurrection, a sign of victory, a sign of life, a sign that he is risen again. And so pastors raise their hands to make the benediction, showing the hands as Jesus himself did. And so, yes, dear friends of Christ, what a beautiful part of God's creation We think about this evening, the hands, the human hand, intricate bones, bones sewn together by God, intricate sinews and muscles, beautifully arranged so that we can do all kinds of amazing things. They're not a product of chance and of evolution just thrown together, but of the divine design. And yes, through the beautiful hands of Jesus, God redeemed our world. God redeemed our unholy hands, that our holy hands might be raised in service to Him. For what does our hymn say this evening, our closing hymn? It says this: "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices." It mentions the hands. With our hands, indeed, we help. With our hands, we heal. With our hands, we build. With our hands, we mend. With our hands, we give. With our hands, we guard. With our hands, we protect. With our hands, we pray. With our hands, we secure. For our hands now become the hands of Jesus. And so, dear friends, as you see those holy hands pierced for you this evening, show to the world your hands for Jesus. In His almighty name, amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in Him who lives and reigns, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We receive.